Okay, let's remember where we were. Okay. Let's remember where we were. I apologize. We left in the middle of an inyan. What was our question? Our question was, right? Exactly. Is there a chiyuv karban in a case? And here someone threw in tina shenishba, and they were divided in two cases. But let's say in a case, if there is intellectual onus, especially halachically valid proof, right? Forcing you to believe that it's mutter, right? What if the halacha tells you could believe it's mutter? Right? So is that a ptur onus or not? And then we saw the evidence. What do we have on the board? We saw the evidence. On the one hand, we had we had a horas bezdin. We said chayav. That's the psak of chachamim. So that sounds like there's a ptur onus. Bezdin told you to do it. Okay, but you're still a shogeg. You thought the wrong thing. Whether you thought the wrong thing, is it your fault or is it not your fault? If you thought the wrong thing, that's called shogeg. The ptur of onus is limited to if someone forced you to do an action. And then we had B, this funny shud rashba. The shud rashba. Who says that seems to be against our gemara, horas bezdin, kegon, michal, bas shaol. He called that an onus. And therefore said, that's why she was terrorist to return to her husband. C, and this was not a halachic case, right? This was the only case which was not al pi halacha. But someone pointed out that we pass like the chamin, that tinok shenishba is chayav. According to chachamin, Munbaz disagrees, but we have to pass like the chamin. So that's not like the other question. The halacha tells you think it's okay, but circumstances that God runs the world, and circumstances force you to think it's okay because you're a teen of shenishva. And then we had the case of Isha Shenises Alpi Beis Edim, who is definitely chayav a karban. And then we had the case of Kones Yevimto Achar Gimel Chadashim, Vinimtseis Meuberes, who Tosos and the Ramban says it's Potter because of Ones. That was the Psak of Tosos and the Ramban, although it's not before Shin Gemara. And the last case we had on the board is Baal Ishto Shelo Bishas Vesta. Right, and it turns out Matzadam that she was a nida. The Gemara says clearly in Shavuos that she's potter, and clearly says it's because of onus. Here we're not sure what the case is. Right, we pointed out the Rush and the Maharam and the Psak of the Ramah and the Poskim of Shulchan Aruch says afilu lo budka kodem tashmish. And the Kesef Mishnah suggests, and the Beis Yosef, he suggests the same thing, says Efshar, but Efshar seems he's leaning this, Rak in Badka Kodem Tashmish. Okay, so let's review. We're going to see three basic approaches to this question. If it was really okay, if you really had good reasons for thinking it was mutter, very good reasons, not a mistake, the halachically valid reasons for thinking it was mutter, are you chayav a carbon or potter a carbon? So we want to say there are three drachim. One derech was the Karen Ora Nivamos was very, very clear. His shita was that you're chayef. A mistake is a mistake, whether it's a justified mistake, whether it's a halachically valid mistake. A mistake is a mistake. He says chayef karbon. The ptur ones is only for physical coercion. Any mistake, even if the mistake is a justified mistake, even if it's a halachically justified mistake, it doesn't matter. A mistake is chayav karban. After all, we're not killing you. We're not giving you an onesh, just chayav karban. Okay, and this is, we pointed out, this works very well. That's why in Haras Bezdin, it works very well, right? Because even though you had every right to eat this chaylev, but since it was a mistake, you're chayav karban. This works very well. This works very well, even though you had every right, wanted every right to be married when 2 said her husband died. She's chayav karban if they were lying because she made a mistake. A mistake is a mistake. We don't look at why you made a mistake. And Tino Shanishba also, he mistakenly didn't know anything about Judaism. That's not his fault. He had to deal with these three. Notice that it's a little bit of a lopsided boxing match here. The sugyas on the side of the Keren Ora are Gemaras. All the things against him are already shown him, so it's easy to deny. So what he says is, and here we're translating to my words, he deals with B and E. Here he says two approaches. Either he says that we paskin like the Taz against the Ramah and the Rashba. He says the Rashba's wrong. Maybe the Rashba's wrong. Where did the Rashba get this idea? The Taz already said he's against our Gemara. How could the Rashba say Bezdin paskin she wasn't married, and she remarried like Michal Bashol? How did Michal Bashol go back to David? So he said, look, if you want to read Chudash on Mikra, don't give me this whole, hey, machlokes about the Kiddushin. You're reading the Midrash. Just like the Midrash says, Michal Bashol went to Palti Ben Layish because of a mistaken hora about Milvah Pruta Naika Pruta. The Midrash also says that Palti Ben Layish never slept with her. So that's why she go back to David. He put a sword in the middle of the bed. Fine. That way you just chazara. Or you could easily say, and this, it's a tame to me why everyone doesn't say this and why the current origin say this more explicitly. The Rashba only says she considered anusa le'inyan being usher to her husband, not le'inyan karban. Maybe she's anusa le'inyan not being forbidden to her husband, but she'll get this le'inyan karban. Why is that? Because the standards of being forbidden to your husband are only if you're a real evil person, a real mason. The standards of being chayav karban is even if you're a mistaken person. So that's very, very simple. Just say that the standards for Isser Labaal are different from the standards of Karbanos. But all right, we pointed out, what about a Stam Shogig? Right? A Stam Shogig, they showed this guy was her husband, it wasn't. She's Chayav a Karban. For Karban, she's in Chayav, but she's not forbidden to her husband because she didn't do it purposely. So we see all the Rashba really meant. I mean, I wouldn't even ask the Kasha on the Rashba. I wouldn't have been the Taz. Taz says the Rashba's wrong. How can we call it an onus? We see from our Sugya it's not. No, our son is a Yechiv Karban. The Yechiv Karban is not an onus. But in it being us or your husband, it is an onus. Because not even a slight onus makes her not us or your husband. Because only a mazed bamish the sword of her husband. Okay, that's all Chazara. What about this case? This case, Adi pointed out one new thing. He says the same two possibilities. Either he says, maybe the Rambam holds its chayav against Tosfos. So, the Adi pointed out, in Rabbi Nurvram Alahara and Yuvamas there and left Lamadim base, he actually says against Tosus that you're chayav a karban. Right? It's not just a maybe the current aura. The Rabbi Nurvram ben Avraham, not ben Avraham, sorry, Rabbi Nurvram ben Ahara actually says it. And he often goes according to Shita Ram. If you go through with Shas with Rabbi Nurvram ben Ahara, he's usually trying to go according to the Ramam. So it's a good guess on part of the current aura. That's what the current aura says. And we can add Rabbi Nurvram Min Hahar writes Mefurish that he's chayv. So maybe Taki is chayv a carbon. Oh, he relied on a rove. Rove women after 3 months, if they don't look pregnant, they're not pregnant. So he was allowed to do Yivam. What did he do wrong? The answer is that's not a valid question. If you made a mistake, you made a mistake. Even if it's a halachically valid mistake. So that's just one thing we're adding. Or the other options you could say, or you could say that Shani Hacha did Tav Bidvar Mitzvah Pater. I'm going through this quickly, but that's because just Chazara. Okay, he did not relate to the Gemara in Shavuos about the woman B'Shas Vesta, so we had to relate for him, and we said the same possibility. Maybe, Ulai, Kaimalon, Kekesef Mishnah, the Imkain, Myri, the Onus Mamish of physical coercion. If you say like the Kesef Mishnah against the way you Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, then he did a bedika right before the bia. She was the whole right before the bia. What happened? The period came in the middle of bia. The period came in the middle of bia. That's an intellectual mistake of thinking it's okay. She thought it was okay. That's a physical coercion. Something physical came and coerced them in the middle of bia. And it didn't hold it onto his head, but it came and
just like someone sticks chiluk down your throat, that's physical coercion. Someone stuck it down in the middle of the bia, or you could easily say that, maybe you could say that it's mairi, b'shas onasa, b'shas mitzvahs ona, the ta'a bidvar mitzvah, shiny. Okay, so the Karen Ora himself did not go through this, but we went through it for him. That's one approach to Karen Ora, that's Chazar from last time. The diametrical opposite approach is what we found in the Shut Mishnah Halachos. Rav Menashe Klein from Brooklyn, Borough Park, I don't know if anyone ever met him. Passed away in Lomisman. Rav Menashe Klein, he takes the exact opposite approach. This is a real life case. Someone writes to him and they say that, you know, they're so upset, they bought their tefillin when they were young from a sofer with a proper reputation, etc., etc., etc. And it turns out, man, long, long time later, it turns out that tefillin were a puzzle. So, besides the fact they never put on tefillin, they also made a bracha levatala all the time. So, okay, at first, the part I skipped, they discussed whether it was really bracha levatala or maybe because you say bar shenko malach. So it helped, that helped for the first bracha, really for the second bracha. That's not our inyan right now. And then he says, okay, forget that inyan. Really, there's no aveira at all. There's no aveira at all. Why? Because he was relying on halachically valid principles. And a chazaka, there's koshkeskes kashros and nemanos. He was relying on halachically valid principles. So what he's supposed to do, he says, you buy tefillin, you buy the right tefillin the right way. Right, you're supposed to buy tefillin and cut them open and check them yourself. And maybe you don't even know what you're checking for. No, you buy tefillin from a trustworthy source. And that's all you're supposed to do. And he says the same thing would be, let's say you bought meat. You bought meat, the trustworthy hashra, the best hashra in the world. Not sure what the best hashra in the world is nowadays. You know, some people say it's in Haredis, some people say it's the worst hashra in the world, it's for Reuben, whatever it may be. Let's say beef, right? Beef, I think Aiden Haredis is still the best hashra in the world. Not controversial. So someone buys the beef, glatt kosher, mahadrim, with all the chumras, Aiden Haredis. And it turns out that it was treif. Why does it turn out it was treif? Because we only check the lungs. We don't check every single one of the yudches treifos. And maybe one of the yudches treifos, you know, it had a hole in the heart. And no one noticed, etc.
Today, many people, especially for the bar mitzvah, have a whole tekus of putting the kashrut inside the tefillin, and the child sees it, and you can't take out the big machlokes. We don't want to do, should we put it, not put in? Maybe today when I buy tefillin, I can't depend on anybody, and I've got to do it, and they're ready to be...
Okay, well, they didn't do this Rav Menashe Klein's days, and even so, but you know how to look at it and see if it's 100% correct. Maybe, depends what the mistake is.
There's a parsha missing.
Okay, if there's a parsha missing, okay, fair enough. But in those days, they didn't have that minute yet, although I hear the time. Okay, you're trying to ruin, he's making someone feel good. He's trying to make a yid feel good, and you're trying to make a yid feel bad. Okay, fine, Seder. That's how you want to be, I can't stop you. But that's not the point. The point is, what is he saying? He says the klal is that, what's the klal? The klal is that, if you weren't negligent, there's no chiyuv karbon. That's called onus. The opposite of the Karen Ora says, no, onus means if someone forces you. If you made a mistake, even if it wasn't your fault, a mistake is still a mistake. He says, no. Shogeg is only if you were negligent you made a mistake, like you didn't check if it was Chilev or Shuman, or you didn't think if it was Shabbos or Tuesday, or you didn't learn Hilchos Shabbos. Right? That's a mistake. But you didn't pay attention to, you know, whether you're sleeping with your wife or your sister, or these other strange cases in the Mishnah. Okay, but if you were following the halakhically valid rules, it was no fault of your own, he says, then that's not an avera b'chlal. That's onus gomer. This person eats the meat, and it turns out there was a hole in the heart and something weird that no one ever checks for, no one has to check for, is an onus gomer. He's not liable at all. This person made a bracha levatala on his film is an onus gomer, not liable at all. And where does he bring rayas from? He brings rayas from this Tosfos. Right, he says, after all, Tosfos says, and he doesn't know the Rabbeinu Avraham in a Ahar, which can't really blame him. Most people don't know the Rabbeinu Avraham in a Ahar. And he doesn't know the Karen Ora, or he doesn't care. The Karen Ora made up that the Rambam thinks differently, because it's not the force of the Rambam. As far as he knows, all the Rishonim say, Meyavim Yevibol Yevimtor, after 3 months, you see she's not pregnant after 3 months. He sleeps with his Yevah, he does Yevah. And then it turns out she is pregnant, and it's Eishas Achshol Makom Mitzvah. It's not his fault. he based himself on the halachic klal for 3 months, you can assume she's not pregnant. And therefore, she's butter. So that makes a lot of sense. And he also based himself on the Tosos and Aram here. If a guy sleeps with his wife, Shalom B'Shas Vesta, based on Cheskas Tara, turns out she's an Ida, well, whether he checked before it or didn't check before it, it doesn't matter. Halacha told him that his wife is Muteris. Muteris. Halacha told him that Yevam is Muteris. Muteris. This works well for the Rashba also, though he doesn't totally deal with it. The problem, of course, is what does he do with our Sukya, with Haras Bezdin? After all, if Bezdin Agadol told you this kind of chila was mutter, then why is it your fault? So here he has to make a tremendous chiddush. What's the tremendous chiddush of Rav Menashe Klein? It's a little funny because Rav Menashe Klein is a chassidish posek. If there's one thing that chassidim like, okay, if there's one thing that Orthodox Judaism likes, and all, you know, conservative, traditional, political philosophies like, but especially chassidim like, it's accepting authority. You know, even the Litvaks, they like accepting authority in terms of the Yud Gimel Karma, the Rambam, and Chazal, the Achronim. But if you ask the Kasha and you're Rosh Hashiva, then you're a Gabra. But the Hasidim, they like accepting authority. Okay, so it's funny. He likes accepting authority, but he should. But what does he say here? He says here, so what about our sugya? We started with Yachad She'asav Aras Bezdin is Chayav. Why is he Chayav, according to Menashe Klein? After all, he didn't do anything wrong. It was the best thing. It says Rav Menashe Klein, tremendous chiddush. You should be a little skeptical of authority. If Bezdin comes up with a new psak that something is mutter, you shouldn't rush to do it right away. You should wait to see if they change their mind. Now, again, not saying it should be an apikoros. If Midori Doris, Bezdin is paskin this, or even Bezdin paskin 5 years ago and the entire rabbinic establishment went along with it, you should go with the entire rabbinic establishment. But if Bezdin Agadol, the Sanhedrin Lishkas Agadol, is paskin something last Tuesday, you shouldn't do it yet. You should say, you know what, this is a chiddush of Bezdin Agadol. Maybe they're going to change their mind. Let me give the dust a couple of weeks to settle. And therefore, he says, if Rov Klal Yisrael does it and it's accepted and everyone does it and it's Mekobol, that's one thing. But if you're an early adopter of Bezdin's Kula, then you're a Poshea because you should have waited to see if they change their mind. And again, he's not an apikoros. That's saying you should have questioned Bezdin and Gubble if you're an Amaritz. We're talking about Amaritz here. We're not talking about the Yachin Aroyla and Tamil Aroyla Ra. Not that you should question Bezdin and Gubble, but you should wait to see if they change their mind. You should be a little skeptical. To me, that's a tremendous chiddush, and I think that's a bit of a dachuk answer, but that's what he says.
Once rabbim have passed away, rabbim, then they're pater mikorban.
The rabbim, but the yach.
But all the rabbim were yechidim at one point.
Aha, okay, so hold that thought for a moment. So says Rav Menashe Klein, what does he say? He says, no. He says, you're negligent. You should have waited until the psak spread in case they change their mind. That's a big finish. Who says that I have to be choshesh they would change? He says you are negligent. Who says you should have just done whatever Bezdin says? You're negligent because you should have waited to see if they change their mind.
That's an
okimta
in the Gemara. No, it doesn't mention
that. That's an okimta, not in the Gemara. That's an okimta in life. Meaning he's saying that the Gemara says yach just boras Bezdin, right? Only 1 or 40% or many people did boras Bezdin. That means they were early adopters, right? Everyone wasn't doing it yet. Okay, you could say, correct. You could say, now give me a second, and I'll sweeten that a little. Give me a second. Okay, that's his tremendous chiddush. His tremendous chiddush is that really you're high for negligence. Oh, what's your negligence here? Your negligence is you shouldn't have listened so quickly. Now, I think perhaps you can find a smach for this in the famous sheet of the Mishnah Melech. The Mishnah Melech, we won't go through the kashas, why he says it right now. Maybe we'll get a chance soon. Says the Mishnah Melech, he says, Yachid she'asav aras bezdin is potter if it's a new psak of bezdin. It's chayiv, it's a new psak of bezdin. Says the Mishnah Melech, but if the psak that's mekubal, it just only applies to a few yachids. Right? This is already where answering your question. Says the Mishnah Melech, says, if a psak is mekubal in Klal Yisrael, it just only applies to some people, then the yachid she'asav aras bezdin is potter. A psak that's mekubal in Klal Yisrael, Yach Jasbaros Bezdin is Potter. That would work well. That would answer Abe's question. That would work well with this Mishnah Lacha. So maybe he can find a smack in the Mishnah Melech.
Maybe you can find a different way of explaining the Mishnah Aleph, but what am I trying to claim? The Mishnah Aleph is just, you know, he lived when we lived. So do you have a smach at someone a couple hundred years older than that? So perhaps in the Mishnah Lamelech. So let's just, according to this, what are we saying? That this fits with the Mishnah Lamelech. Because what does the Mishnah Lamelech say? The Mishnah Lamelech says, Yachad she'asa behorah chadosha shel bezdin is chayiv. But a yachad she'asa behorah mikubeles shel bezdin is potter. What does the Mishnah Lamelech say? And this is his chiddush, yachid she'asa behorah chadasha shel bezdin is chayiv. Yachid she'asa behorah mikubeles b'chlal Yisrael shel bezdin is potter. Right? Exactly the Elkimta that Abe was saying the Mishnah Lach is making, we find in the Mishnah Melech. Why does Mishnah Melech say this? I don't mean why he says, like, what kash is he trying to answer? Ayin Shom. I mean, what's the svar for why he's saying this? Why does he say a yachid, let's say only three guys in the whole Jewish people ate this chalev? Right? Only three guys in the whole Jewish people ate this chalev. Or let's take a better example. Three guys in the whole Jewish people, you know, married this kind of relative. Right? Which is, okay, doesn't come up for everyone. Or did Yibam in some weird situation. Three guys in the whole did Yibam in some weird situation. It turns out it was a mistake, and they were all doing Gilei Raya's Chiyuvei Krisus. So what does Mishnah say? If it was a new Psak of Bezdin and these three guys followed it, they're Chayiv Korban. Yashas or Rez Bezdin, we pass them as Chayiv. But if it's an accepted Psak, it's been in the Svarim, all the Rabbanim have known about this for 20 years or 200 years or 2,000 years. It just only came up for these three guys. Then they're potter from a Korban. Because that's not Yachad she'asa Rez Bezdin. That's Yachad she'asa Behorah that's already Mekubel that's established the Bezdin. Why did Mishnah Melech be mechalik between a newfangled heter of Bezdin and an established heter of Bezdin? So, explains the Chazon Ish and a number of other achronim. Maybe you could say something differently. If you want to be very radical, you could say, when Bezdin paskins, that's just a mistake. But when Klal Yisrael accepts Bezdin Psak, that turns it into the halacha, whether it's right or wrong, whether Hashem likes it or not. Because Klal Yisrael is kofeya. But that's not the perhaps the simplest, easiest way. The simplest, easiest shot. The Yachid follows a newfangled ruling of Bezdin. Maybe he should have waited for the dust to settle. Maybe he shouldn't have rushed to follow this new kula. But if it's already Mekubel Midori Doros, or even, you know, if it's already accepted by Klal Yisrael, then what should be avoided? It's already accepted by Klal Yisrael. So this fits with Menashe Pliny very well. The Yachid Shasim or Ras Bezdin Mizchayiv is only a Yachid who is Posheya. Because they should have waited to see what happens. But if it was already accepted by Klal Yisrael, and he shouldn't have waited anymore, then Taki's putter.
What's the mechanism for determining whether it's Mekubeles or Klal Yisrael?
I don't know, but we can figure it out. But we can figure it out.
Very problematic.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't bother me. If, you know, again, what's Mekubeles nowadays? I'll call you, so it's a good question. I guess what it means Mekubeles al Klal Yisrael is to have time to spread to all the rabbis, and none of the rabbis have gone with kashas to argue the best that I've got.
If you want to use it as a formal category, okay. If he wants to use it as a formal category,
then he has to give a Hagdara.
He says it's a Rishonim, Achronim, but the Rabbanim of a different dorot.
Maybe it has to survive the door. Okay, let's assume we'll figure out Hagdara.
If it's already, like you say, a different door, and later on, isn't the case we got back to it? It was this Bezdin and another Bezdin comes later on, and these people, even it's not a matter of putter, it's just they've changed it, but we didn't do anything wrong one way or the other.
Okay, I hear you, Taina, but I don't think that you could have said that, but that's not where the Mishnah Melech is coming from, and I'm not convinced that it requires the door. If you're not going to lush, I think he doesn't necessarily require the door. I hear what you're saying, but that's not what it sounds like he's saying.
So when Ruth married Boaz married Ruth. Was that a new accepted halacha? Was it an old halacha?
That was a new halacha. Luckily, they were right, so we don't have to go into this discussion, right? But if they had been wrong, meaning like it wouldn't have been Chayyid Krisa, so we wouldn't have gotten into this. But if they had been wrong, then exactly. What if they had been wrong? Mishnah Halacha says, then they would have been Chayyid to do tshuva and get kapara with less than a carbon, so it was only Chayyid Lavin.
And if not, but luckily they were right, so it was okay. Now, what would this is a big chiddush of the Mishnah Melech, because I would have said, who's two questions Bezdin HaGadol, not Pitom? But he says you're negligent for following Bezdin HaGadol until the dust settles. And when does the dust settle? Okay, already we have a Mishnah Melech who says, if most people do it, the dust settles. The Mishnah Melech says, even most people don't do it. But if it's generally accepted, then the dust has settled. What?
Where is it?
It's Shkogos Beis Beis. And then I put the Chazanish in brackets, who explains that the Mishnah Melech is based on the fact that at a certain point when everyone accepts it, you know, I mean, it's not your fault anymore. Because then how can you question it anymore? Okay, what's he going to do with some of these other cases? Here it's a little less clear. What's he going to do with... This is all he explains. What's he going to do with Yevamos? There's not enough time. No, I mean, everyone agrees if she remarries based on two Edom, then she is Chayva Karvan if those two Edom were lying. How is she negligent? She followed two Edom. So he doesn't say what he's going to do with that Gemara. Maybe what you could say with that Gemara is you could say, here it's a tricky part, maybe you could say that, she shouldn't have listened to the two Edom. She should have investigated herself. Hey, Tasi, since when are you supposed to investigate yourself and not listen to two Edom? So it could be because we have a special principle. What chazaka does the Gemara suggest in Perkei Sharav Nivamos about an Isha? What? Isha Daiko Mitzvah. We do have a principle that Isha Daiko Mitzvah, a woman is bedayik before she remarries. Now, the principle is not explicitly said about two Edom, but you could say that even though normally, if two Edom come to me and say, two Edom come to me and say, we saw this chicken was shechted. Man, you can't call me negligent for eating the chicken, right? If two Edom come to me and say, you know, we saw that this fellow owes you $300, you can't call me negligent for collecting $300. But maybe if two Edom come and say to the woman that her husband died, we can call her negligent because Isha Daiko Mitzvah, perhaps she should have been extra careful because the nature of women to be extra careful in these cases and to just check and double check. It's also going to be a little dachuk. Right? Maybe I think there's also a little dochak. Even though, you know, it would fit the Mishnah Melech very nicely. Maybe here also you can say the dochak. You can say the dochak, and here I'm saying for him. I'm saying the word dochak. Maybe you could say, since Isha Daika Ominseba, she should have double-checked. And maybe if she had double-checked, she would have found that her husband wasn't really dead, and therefore there was some negligence. Even in listening to Edom, you could call it negligence. Why is it not negligent to follow a rogue? Why is it not negligent to follow Chazaka? But it's negligent to follow to Edom? Maybe, because of Isha Daiko Mitzvah, we call this negligent, because most women, even if to Edom said their husband were dead, they would double-check. And therefore, since she doesn't act as carefully as most women, why would they double-check? I don't know, that's a chazaka, that's how people act. So she didn't act as carefully as other people would have acted in the circumstances. Maybe we can call that negligent based on how other people would act in those circumstances. Okay, I'm making this up. I understand it's a little bit dochak, but maybe you can say that to defend the Mishnah Lachos.
In this case with the Shtei Edom, it turns out the Shtei Edom were wrong. They weren't Edom anymore.
Okay, hold that thought. We're not up today yet. Okay. That's no good already. Okay, so what's he going to do with just the Tinuk Shenishva, which is not, you know, he doesn't deal with that, but there I don't blame him as much because it's not exactly the parallel because the Tinuk Shenishva is not about a halachic proof. But what's it? If he says that only if you're negligent, then why is Tinuk Shenishva Chayva Karban? So here you can say either maybe the Tinuk Shenishva was also negligent. Here's an interesting question. What was the case of Tinuk Shenishva? Did he know he was Jewish or not? Right? So if he didn't know he was Jewish, it's hard to call him negligent. What, every guy is supposed to suspect that he's Jewish? But if he knew he was Jewish, maybe you can't call him negligent. He knew he was Jewish, he just never learned about Shabbos. Okay, but if he knew he was Jewish, maybe he should have taken pains to figure out what Jews do once he knew he was Jewish. After all, there are people out there who, you know, are raised in a Jewish environment and know they're Jewish and go and discover their Judaism. So either you can say he's negligent, or you can say, no, the Mishnah Allah has only pottered you if you were following halacha and were not negligent and therefore did not trick you. But if just circumstances tricked you, so there you could, I think, you could either, what's he going to do with Tinuk Shenishva? I think you'd have to either say he was negligent, which is obviously a chiddush in Tinuk Shenishva, St. Tishnish was negligent. You have to make a kid that he knew was Jewish, and that he could have found out what the Jewish religion requires its adherents to do, and he didn't, so he was negligent. Which is not so crazy. Meaning, Tinish and Ishba,
they didn't tell him he was a guy.
Right? It's not like he was raised as an adopted, whatever. No, he was just in a faraway country. You know what? In a faraway country, you could figure out what the Torah says if you want to. Or, you could say that the Mishnah Halachos only holds Pater if the Halacha. If the halacha made you think it was mutter. Not if circumstances made you think it's mutter. Okay, I don't know which of those he'll pick. We'll have to leave, I don't know if we discussed this elsewhere, we'll have to leave that a little bit with Tzarf Ian, but his approach is very clear. What's the Mishnah Halacha's approach? Let's review for a second. The exact opposite of the Karen Orah says the Karen Orah, even if every Sif of Shulchan Aruch told you it was mutter. That's still a mistake. A mistake is shogeg. That has nothing to do with onus. Onus is only physical coercion. While the Mishalach says, no. Intellectual coercion is the same as physical coercion. If the Shulchan Aruch told you it was mutter, it was really usher, then you're coerced. You didn't make the mistake. The Shulchan Aruch made the mistake. What about our Gemara? He has to say in our Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch didn't tell you to listen to Bezin HaGadol right away. Never said in the Shulchan Aruch you should rush to listen to Bezin HaGadol. You should wait a little while to see what happens, which is a chiddush. And what's he going to say about the two Edom Yevamos? I'll say the same thing. The Shulchan Aruch never tells you to listen to two Edom right away. It tells you to follow what most people do, and most people would double-check the two Edom. Okay? It's a chiddush. It's dogmatic. The Noda Yehuda takes a third approach. And the Noda Yehuda is a very lumdish approach. Meaning, it's really, it's more of a abstract, a conceptual analysis of concepts rather than a practical hook. And that has to do with what Morty is saying. Says the Noda Yehuda, he makes a very, very clear distinction. He says, when you had a valid halachic heter, then you're putter. When you didn't have a valid halachic heter, then you're chayev. And he says that's the difference between the cases. Assuming like the Bali Tosos and the Rosh Maram, etc., what does he say? He said in the case of Yeshivar Shmuas, the Boel Ishto Shlobashas Vesta, she's a Nida. In the case of the Meyabin Yevimto, Konis Yevimto, after 3 months it turned out she was pregnant, then you had a valid halachic heter. But in the case of a Rosh Bezdin, or in the case of two Edom, you didn't have a valid halachic heter. At first, that seems backwards. Seems like Noda Yehuda is standing on his head. What does he mean by that? After all, a rov and a chazaka are valid halachic heters, but two edim and psak of bezin gadol are not valid halachic heters. Everyone knows that two edim is more powerful than rov and chazaka. Everyone knows that psak of bezin gadol is more authoritative than rov and chazaka. So why do we call a rov and a chazaka? Basically, what are we saying here? What he's saying here is that this is based on a chazaka. That's a valid heter. And that's why you're putter. Here, a rove, what is the rove? Rove, after 3 months, if you don't see anything in her belly, then she's not pregnant. Let's assume that's a good rove. That's a valid heter, right? I already mentioned last time that I'm not good at these things. But over here, haras bezdin, that's not a valid heter. Or, here it's by the Tinuk Shanishba. Here, let's just make sure we don't lose ourselves. That's Nicha. That's clearly not a valid halachic heter for Tinush and Ishba. Here is Shnei Edim. That's not a valid heter. It seems very backwards to us. What do you mean? The strongest things he calls not a valid halachic heter, and therefore you chayv a karban. The weaker things he calls a valid halachic heter, therefore you potter from a karban. Okay, here we see the Noda Yehuda was really brisker here. If you think about it, my Rebbe in America, Rosenzweig, like to point out that sometimes its strength is its weakness. What does it mean? Sometimes something stronger is actually more fragile because it's stronger. Two Edim are telling you the absolute truth. The absolute truth. Rove is not telling you the absolute truth. It's just telling you you have what to rely on. Chazak is not telling you the absolute truth. It's telling you you have what to rely on. Two Edim are telling you the truth. So on the one hand, 280 merchants, Horas Bezdin, Bezdin, and Gadol telling you the truth. On the one hand, that seems stronger. But on the other hand, sometimes strength is a weakness. Something stronger is more fragile. What do we mean by this? If the 280 were lying, then they weren't telling you any truth. If the 280 were lying, they weren't telling you anything, and they were blameless lafreya, they were butl and butl, and they never existed in the first place. If Bezdin and Gadol was lying, not lying on purpose, Chas v'Shalom, but lying by telling you the wrong logical conclusion, then they weren't telling you anything. This is similar to in the Lashon of the Achronim nowadays. It's called Birur versus Hachra, right? Is it proving the truth, or is it just telling you what you can rely on? Proving the truth is stronger, but more fragile, because if it's not true, it's worthless. And what does Noam do? Let me explain what he means by this. Horas Bezdin. If the Bezdin Gadol turns out to be mistaken, then Igloi Milsalam Afreya, there was no valid Horah. If the Edom were lying, Igloi Milsalam Afreya, they weren't Kosher Edom. Right? So here, what do we mean? We mean that Igloi Limafreya Shalohaya Horah. It wasn't a real hurrah, because they were mistaken. A mistake is not a hurrah. Here, Igloi lemafreya shehayu edim psulim, right? They're edim psulim, they're liars. They weren't real edim. Or edim sheker. Take that in different ways, not important for now. However, let's say you had a rove. Igloi lemafreya, there wasn't a rove. Igloi was afraid there was a rogue, it just didn't work in that case. Edim who lied weren't really Edim. Bezdin who paskin falsely weren't really paskining. But a rove that turned out that your case was in the miut, it was still a good rove, you're not going to go back and say that's not a good rove, so it's still a true rove. It's still a true rove. It's still, let's say this even better, right? Very, very simple. We'll use true and false. This is the note of Yehuda's Lundish, famous Lundish chiluk. What does he say? He says, Lemafreya, it's not a true hora. Right? Lemafreya, they're not true Aden. They're lying. They're not true Aden. However, a rove, Lemafreya, it's still the rove. Okay, this is one of these big philosophical problems about rove. You know, philosophers spend a lot of time, you can fill a bookshelf, philosophers trying to figure out what statistics means. Right? What does it mean that it's 80% likely something will happen? If it happens, then that's okay. If it doesn't happen, that's okay. Which is exactly the point. If you ask philosophers, what does it mean that I can prove something is true? They'll say, it means the proof, and if it's not true, your proof was garbage, and you were lying to me, you were mistaken, just take your proof, throw it in the garbage. But statistics, if I say it's 80% likely it'll rain, and it doesn't rain, I was still right that it was 80% likely that it would rain. I was still absolutely right. Or, if I'm a good weatherman, it was 80% likely that it would rain. It just didn't, but it was still 80% likely that it would. Right? That's the point. Something that's a weaker achra is more durable. It can't be disproven. It was still 80% likely it was rain. What that means, I have no idea. This was very poignant. It was actually very sad that Rav Lichtenstein had a certain philosophical observation when he had a surgery. When he broke his hip, said they told him a 70% chance of success. And it didn't work. And he said, he's trying to figure out what's the nafkamina of the 70% chance of success for the other 30% of people. Unfortunately, there was none, right? But the point is, they were still right. It was 70% likely to be successful. It was still a valid rove. Just, it didn't work out in your case, but it was still a good rove. We would use the rove again. We wouldn't listen to the Edom again. We wouldn't listen to the Svara Bethan again. We'd follow the rule again, the same for Chazakah. Chazakah's not telling you what the Metzius is. It's a rule of what to follow. It's Becheskes Heter. She was Becheskes Heter, and it turns out she turned to Isra, and she became Nida in the middle of Bia. It was still a valid Becheskes Heter. We'd follow it again next time. The fact that it didn't work is not a pircha to a rove. The fact that it didn't work is not a pircha to a Chazakah. The fact that it didn't work, it work is a pircha to Aden, because then they're lying. And is a pircha to Horah, because then they're falsifying the Torah. It's still a true chazaka. That's exactly the point. If the rove doesn't work, it didn't work. It was a valid rove, just you weren't part of the chazaka. It was a valid chazaka. Just every chazaka might change. Just means you can assume it won't. That's the nuri hudas cha. If you rely on a roman chazaka, igloinus mafreya, you had a valid halachi heter. If you rely on edim or horas desdin, igloinus mafreya, not, it's not your fault, I know, but igloinus mafreya, you didn't have a valid halachi heter.
It's very nice, but it's all mafreya. What does that have to do with onus?
Ah, so what's he saying? So what's he saying is that, so apparently what he's saying is that, unlike the Karen Ora who says you're always chayv a carbon if there was a mistake, regardless of fault. And Mishnah Lach says you're only chayv a carbon if it's your fault you made a mistake. Even though he stretches cases where he calls it your fault to make a mistake, you know, and he even practiced gerrymandering a little. But the Nun Yehuda says it has nothing to do with being your fault or not being your fault, right? It has nothing to do with being your fault or not being your fault. It has to do with being whatever's halachically mutter, we call not a mistake, but a heter, and a heter we'll call onus. Right. Maybe I wouldn't even call it the word onus. I'd be happier if he didn't call it the word onus, but I think you can stick it in here. What's he saying? He's saying that mistake is never onus. He's saying a mistake without negligence is onus. And the Yehuda's saying it depends. A, how logically valid heter is onus. A mistake is not onus. Why is that luckily valid? It had nothing to do with you. It has to do with the formal halos of the act. If I do an act and I say I have formal halachic basis for doing it l'mafreya, and I got messed up, that's called an onus because halacha forced me. If I say it turned out I didn't have a valid halachic heter, then that's a shogi. It's not my fault, but it's still a shogi. When the halacha valid tells you to do something, we call that a force. When the halacha doesn't validly tell you to do something, we call that a mistake. Even though it's equal levels of negligence. I know it's equal levels of negligence. But that's the chap of the Nodi Yehuda. Okay, so these are the three approaches I've seen. One radical approach one way, one radical approach the other way, which I understand has the lower hand in terms of explaining the sugyas. And the Nodi Yehuda, who's a brilliant lumbus, either you like the lumbus, either you love the cleverness of his lumbus, or you think it's too clever. But it's a very, very sharp lumbus. That's interesting. The more you see Hora as being Sholeach you to do it, then the more it shouldn't be your fault. The more it should just be a Birur, then okay, a lot of people make a lot of mistakes in Birur. Who cares if it was your grandmother made a mistake in the Bezdin? They're not a late mistake. I totally hear that. Now, at least as far as the Horas Bezdin. At least as far as the local sugya, I totally hear that. I'm Mode. I have to figure out how to plug it in, but I'm Mode.
According to the Karen Ora, according to all those Rishonim who hold that Yachad Shasta Barah based on Pater and based off the Svara and not a Pasuk, so this is all a Machlokas Rishonim.
Correct.
All Machlokas Tanakh.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
And then you have to fit that into the Sigis also.
Okay, correct. And you have to find out which sugyas might depend on Tanaim or which sugyas might not. Meaning, I'm doing Hornalach Lomais on this board. Once you're already dealing with the Tanaim in the whole life, then each sugya, either you have to explain it or you have to say, I'm not in that sugya. But you're right, because he all Tanaim seem to agree by the Eidim, so you have to.
Mishnah Halachos, it would turn out it would be a little better than the Machlokes in Svara. It's a clear Machlokes in Svara.
Correct. Okay, now. Let me just add two things to this discussion before we're ready to move on to... Yeah.
I still think the formulation that bothers me.
Okay.
Halachically valid is not a good way to formulate.
Okay.
I would say that by Rav Chazaka, there's no mistake. And in the case of Bezdin...
By Rav Chazaka, there's no mistake. There was a surprise, but there wasn't a mistake.
There's no mistake.
Next
time around, you would be machmir. Exactly.
That's interesting. It wasn't a mistake. It was a surprise.
Why it's an onus, because...
Right, or let's say better. It was a mistake in terms of the metzias, but it wasn't a mistake in terms of the reasoning. Okay, that's... Abe's giving a very sharp formulation, maybe better than I gave for the Nodi Yehuda. He wants to say, it's not a matter of how luckily valid or not. It's that, was there a mistake? When you follow a rove, there wasn't a mistake. I know the rove led to a mistaken conclusion. There wasn't a mistake. You were following a valid rove. When you follow false agent, that's a mistake. You're not negligent for the mistake, but there was a mistake. Or maybe you could say a little better. I do like that formulation. That when you followed something by mistake, that's called shogeg, a mistake. You followed something by mistake. Maybe it wasn't negligent, but it was still a mistake. But when there was no mistake in your reasons, then that's called ones. There's no mistake in your reasons. I understand the rove led to a mistake in metzias, but there's no mistake in your thought process. Not one that's your fault, not one that's not your fault. So it depends if you can call something a mistake. A rove is not a mistake. You know, I think it's just a sharper version of what I was saying. I like it.
Just looking back at the current era when it said Shani Hafa, the Tavid Bar Mitzvah Pator, is that even a Shani if he's forced to do it because of the mitzvah?
Correct. So it could very well be that the Yisod of Tavid Bar Mitzvah is that that's more of an onus because if you're forced to think it's mutter, still no one told you to do it. If it's a mitzvah, then someone did hold the gun to your head and tell you to do it. Hashem held the gun of the mitzvah to your head and told you to do it. So I agree. Especially in some of the sugyas discussed, whether it depends if you're in a rush to the mitzvah or not. But clearly, if you're in a rush to the mitzvah, then someone did hold the gun to your head. So I agree 1,000%. Okay, now, I just want to end with one observation about this, which is, why does someone, what's the fundamental machlokas here? Do you only bring a korban if it's your fault, or do you bring a korban even if it's not your fault? Right? That seems to be the machlokas. Let's just ask the fundamental, like, you know, underlying question. When do you bring a korban? When do you bring a korban? Says the underlying question, when do you bring a korban? Says the Mishnah Halachos, at least quite possibly, only if you are negligent. Only for negligent. Says the Mishnah Halachos, only for negligent. However, says the Koran Ora, nothing to do with negligence, not negligence. Right? Lechora, seemingly, yeah, one could question this, but Lechora, when do you bring a korban? Anytime you do a Maisa Aveira. Oh, why don't you bring a carbon to Ones? Okay, there's a tour of Ones. Ones, it's almost as if you didn't do it. But anytime you do a Maisa Aveira, you, let's say, willingly, not doing it knowingly, right? Anytime you willingly do a Maisa Aveira, you bring a carbon, whether you're negligent or not negligent. And I think the Notary Huda would also go on that side. Lechora, what would the Notary Huda say? He would say, anytime you, you willingly do a Maisa Aveira. Okay, so he has an expanded Toronis, but even without negligence. That's what seems to come out of the Noda Yehuda and the Keren Ora in the mainstream, is that even without negligence, right? Even without negligence. That's Lechora how you'd come out, right? Even without negligence. This says even without negligence. I know you can't read it. Now, what might be underlying this? So the very, very basic question, why is someone bringing a carbon in the first place if they are a shogeg? After all, if someone doesn't have erev mezid, I understand why they're a bad person. As a matter of fact, usually they can't even bring a carbon. They're too evil to bring a carbon. They did something wrong. Someone did something by accident, right? Any of us who raised kids know, right? The excuse is always it was an accident, right? So why do you have to bring a carbon if it is... why do you have to bring a carbon if you do an aveira by accident? So here, there seem to be two approaches. If you look at the Ramban and Torah Adam, this is a hidden gem in the Ramban and Torah Adam, right? What's the Ramban and Torah Adam? It is, Torah Adam is the Ramban's book about death, if you'll excuse my bad language. And he has different chapters in his book, Sharim. Chapter of Pikuach Nefesh, and the chapter of Avelos, and the chapter of etc., etc., and the chapter of Shar HaGmul, of how Hashem runs the world, and why, you know, some people live and some people die, and why how reward and punishment works. In that, he's discussing the sugya and brachos of Yisurin Shalava, and the Ramban with typical, really characteristic of the Ramban is the brilliance of pshat. The Gemara says, Rabbah says, if a person sees Yisurim coming upon him, sufferings, he should examine his actions to check for Averos. If he doesn't find Averos, he should examine his actions to check for Bittul Torah. The Ramban says, means not doing mitzvos. If he doesn't find, then it's Yisurin Shalava. What is Yisurin Shalava? All the other Mefarshim say Yisurin Shalava means he didn't do anything wrong, and Hashem punishes him anyway. And then that creates a philosophical question. Why would Hashem punish you if you didn't do anything wrong? Because it can't be a punishment. Why would Hashem inflict suffering upon someone who didn't do anything wrong? And you come up with all kinds of wonderful hesperim, each of which are very, very interesting. But the Ramban says, no, no, you have to read the Gemara more carefully. The Gemara didn't say he didn't do Averus. What did the Gemara say? He checked if he did Averus and didn't find that he did Averus. Ah, he didn't know that he did Averus. He didn't say he didn't do Averus. He did Averus. He did Averus b'shogeg. That's why he didn't find that he did the Averus. He did Averus b'shogeg. That's what Yisurin Shalava means. The Ramban is a kapara for doing Averus b'shogeg. Says the Ramban, why does this guy need to suffer as a kapara for doing Averus b'shogeg? What, he's going to go to hell for doing Averus b'shogeg? So the Ramban says very, very mefurish. No, 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 no. He's not going to go to hell for doing Averus b'shogeg. After all, he's still a good guy. But he's not going to get his madrigan olam haba that he could have been zocha to. And therefore, it's worth it to get a kapara in this world in order to have the proper madrigan olam haba. Okay, I got all of this as a tangent, the Ramban says, and who says Averus b'shogeg are really a big problem? Says, look in Chumash Vayikra, Nefesh, Bisechta, Bishgaga, etc., etc., has to bring a karban. If you have to bring a karban, that means you need kapara, says the Ramban. But why? What's so bad about doing an Averus b'shogeg? And the Ramban says, Tupshatim, says the Ramban, he says, number one, Ketzad, Hare, She'achal, Chila, b'shogeg, Nikra, Chotish, Shein, Kroso. The Torah says it's a chet. What's the big chid about shogeg? He wasn't careful and he wasn't yari v'chori. He wasn't didn't take really seriously. He wasn't really worried about the mitzvah Hashem. Right? Not to do anything to like double check the isgalu adavar shu mutter and make sure that it's mutter v'roy lo fikiz yerosh shal kadosh baruch hu according to Hashem's derech. Well, derech zuach tam chidish goyim v'chol Torah. Says why is it shogeg chid in kol Torah? Says the Ramban, because you should have double checked. You should have been more careful. After all, we all know, right? If it was a, if there was a landmine in your backyard, you would have been double checked and triple checked and been extra, extra careful not to step on the landmine because it's really bad. If you weren't so careful at the other areas, because you didn't think it was really bad and you didn't take Hashem's Torah seriously. So it's because you should have checked. The Rambam says the same thing in Hilchos Shgagos Perek Hey. What does the Rambam say in Hilchos Shgagos Perek Hey? Says the Rambam. Shehashogeg hayol livdok ledaktek. The ilu badak yafe yafe v'diktek v'sheilos lo yabali de shgaga. A shogeg should have checked, and then he wouldn't have done it if he had checked. Since he didn't bother to check, why do you need the kapara? He needs the kapara for not checking. One pshat is why do you need the kapara for taking the mitzvahs lightly and being negligent? That's one pshat. The Ramban says the second pshat, the ode. She called Tavar Asar Malach Lecha Nefesh Imitami Yosad Vetsimenit Mason Bam Lefika Tekra Shogi Chote. Okay. Why? Because every Avera has an objective effect on the soul. Right? Every Avera causes Tumah in the soul. We don't mean the Tumah of Seder Taros, that you have to go to the mikvah, or Count Shivanikiyim, or get Hazas Mechatas, it's morning's leaning. No, we mean the Tumah of the soul. Every Avera has a polluting effect on the soul. Sometimes we understand why, and sometimes we don't understand why, but the Ramban is very, very convinced, he writes in many places, that there's a reason behind all the mitzvos. Hashem didn't pick any of the Averos arbitrarily. Every Avera Hashem forbade because it has a bad effect on us. Maybe one, we don't yet understand why it has a, why does eating pig have a bad effect on me and eating cows doesn't? I don't know why, but there's a reason. Or, more for Chayga Krisis, why does eating chelov have a bad effect on me and eating shuma doesn't? My doctor says they both have a bad effect on me. I don't know why, but somehow chelov pollutes my soul in a way that shuman doesn't, and therefore, says the Ramban, if someone did a maisa of aveira, then they objectively have a negative effect on their soul, and they need kapara to cleanse their neshama from that objective negative effect. Has nothing to do with whether it's their fault or not at this point. You could say there's a toranus. If someone held a gun to your head and forced you, then perhaps it won't have a negative effect on your soul, because maybe only actions that you do willingly have a negative effect on your soul. But I think that this might underlie, I know you get complicated more, and I'll leave it that you do that at home, this might underlie this issue, although it wouldn't work out for the Karen Oris Pshat in the Rambam, which is not the end of the world. You could say, if the reason for carbon chata is because you were negligent, then the Mishnah Lachas makes a lot of sense. And maybe that's where he's coming from. He's coming from, look, if you weren't negligent, why do you need kapara? So, if you ask, why bring a carbon chatas, which is exactly what the Ramban and the Rambam are asking. One is the Ramban and the Rambam because you are negligent of not checking, and that negligence is chutzpah towards Hashem's Torah. The second shot, says the Ramban, is because of the objective polluting effect of the Avira. Okay, if you say it's because the negligence is not checking, then Rabbi Menashe Klein, make our, let's call this Aleph. Have we used those yet? No, Aleph and Beis. Then Rabbi Menashe Klein makes a lot of sense. If the reason you bring a chatas, if the only reason you bring a chatas is because you were negligent, because you should have checked, then Rabbi Menashe Klein makes sense. If we didn't expect you to check, if you weren't negligent, then why should you bring a chatas? You did not disrespect Hashem's Torah. So why is Yosha Yosemar Ras Bezin Chayev? He didn't disrespect Hashem's Torah. He did, because he should have waited for the dust to settle, even though that's a chesh. But if you say, no, there's an objective polluting effect of the Maisa, then it would make a lot of sense to say, like the Karen Ora, or even like the Noda Yehuda, who I admit is somewhere in the middle, there's an objective polluting effect, says the Karen Ora. Who cares? If someone held a gun to your head, that's different. But who cares if you did it willingly? You did it willingly under false premises. Who cares if the false premises came from your negligence, or the false premises came from forces beyond your control? Lemaisa, you did out of your own free will, and you enjoyed doing it. You enjoyed eating this. You ate this, you know, having in mind that it was a wonderful, delicious thing to eat, without practicing at all. You had no one held a gun to your head. You ate this chaylev. Who cares whether it was your fault to eat the chaylev or not your fault to eat the chaylev? If you eat the chaylev, you need a korban to be mechaper for the objective effect of the avera. So it could be that this whole sugya might flow from a much more basic chakira about the nature of chet shogeg.
Quite possibly, yes.
Yes?
It's objective, why does onus make a difference?
If it's objective, why does onus make a difference is a great question. So the truth is, I've been dancing around it. Let me say explicitly, I have two answers. Either, number one, it's just a zero. The answer I don't like is to say it's just a zero sakosov that b'makom onus, Hashem didn't require a carbon. But the better answer, I think, is that at least for the Karen Ora, if you did it under coercion, then it doesn't have an effect on your soul, because you're not doing it with you're not doing it with your heart. If you do it, you know, I hate to be harsh here, but I'll say this. Okay. It's like you're very upset with me. But let's say some cynical person who is not me would say, it's very nice that these kids go in to high school in the morning and they're forced under threat of detention to mumble some words from a book and put some leather stuff on their arms and heads, but that has no spiritual effect, positive spiritual effect on them, because they don't really want to do it. They're just doing it against their will. When you're saying against your will, it inoculates you from the effect. So likewise here, it could be when you do it against your will, it inoculates you from the It inoculates you from the negative spiritual effect. I think for the Karen Ora, it makes perfect sense. If I hold a gun to your head and tell you to eat the chaylev, you're eating the chaylev, and you're not enjoying the chaylev, and you're not getting into eating the chaylev, and you don't want this chaylev. So therefore, that protects you against the negative effect. You know, for the... Yeah.
I think the Mishnah Halachos sort of says that, but I didn't read that, but I looked at it before. It says that, in other words, it's like, you don't need the cleaning. In other words, the effect of an onus doesn't malat mitamtemet nefesh.
Correct. He says it's not mitamtemet nefesh unless you're negligent, right? I heard him check.
In other words, so it's not really mitamtemet. Whatever to mean, it's
not. Yeah, I asked Rav Schechter about this once. He says, yeah, of course our ears are mitamtemet nefesh. The fact that you didn't care about the halacha and did them is metamtim as anefesh. But not the food, not the chemistry of the food, or the, you know, or the mistochemistry of the food. No, that's what the Mishnah Halachos might say. It's the fact that you didn't care enough and you were not taking halacha seriously and you did not avera is metamtim as anefesh. Okay, so there's Yesh Lain Od, but we'll leave this for now, and if David would be so kind as to take the picture of the board, I want to go on to our next question. Now, we have, we're not out of the woods yet, but I want to point out another fascinating machlokas between the Mishnah Halachos and the Noda Yehuda, which is the question of, now that we pass in Yochid Sh'asav Aras Bezdin Ischayav, and that's how we pass in that with this whole board, and we had a whole Chakira why, basically. Is he chayav just because he did it? And there's no excuse of onus, just because it's not his fault, or because it is his fault a little. How about Rabban Sh'asav Aras Bezdin? Why are, clearly Rabban Sh'asav Aras Bezdin is Pater. That's Parah L'Dav Shel Tzibur. Why are Rabban Sh'asav Aras Bezdin Pater? So, what does the Noda Yehuda say, which I think is the Pashat Pshat that we all would have thought, and that we'll bring more Rayas for soon? Why are Rabban Sh'asav Aras Bezdin Pater? What would you have thought? If you just read the Chumash, what would you answer me? Rabban Sh'asav Aras Bezdin, why are they Pater? Yeah, because they're Yotze with the Par. It's not that they're Pater. It's that they're Yotze with the Par. The Par of Dovah Shel Tzibur. Every Yochid, well, why isn't every Yochid Chayiv in the Talmud Shel Bein Arbayim? Because it's part of the Tzibur, and the Tzibur does it. Why isn't every Yochid Chayiv in Minoy Melech and Binyan Beis HaMikdash? The answer is he is. He does it through the tzibur. That's you don't need any fancy philosophy for that. Obviously, the tzibur does things that count for the yechidim. That's what a tzibur is there for. So let's ask the simple question, and it all seems like a foolish question, right? Why are rabbim sh'asu baharas bezdin peturim mei chatas yochid? So the simple answer says the Noda Yehuda, and I think this is a Pashut Pshat. He says because there are Yotze, there miskaper al yedei par helam dover. It's not that they're potter. They're potter in the yuck because they are chayiv kapara, right? They are chayiv chatas. They're just Yotze with the carbon seaver instead of, right? I mean, what he says is, they are chayiv chatas. Yeah, of course everyone's chayiv chatas. Just, they don't bring chatas yachid, because they don't see the chatas tzibur. Right? Why does a guy? Because you don't see the chazar as a shatz, not if dam shon etzer, because you don't see the tzibur. Okay. Where the rabbis love to sing chazar as a shatz. That's a simple answer. Very strangely. Now, you might say this has to do with an elephant that we haven't yet dealt with that's in the room, although the chokes that are later, whether the Bezdin brings the power, the Tzibur brings the power. This is easier if the Tzibur brings the power, right? Even if the Bezdin brings the power, the Bezdin is representatives of the Tzibur. That's not a crazy idea. The Bezdin is representatives of the Tzibur, meaning the Rav has many riots for that. Not to mention that we pass on the Tzibur brings the power. Yeah, at least that's what it looks like on the outside. So, the Mishnah Halachos doesn't like this. He says, no, if a Yachid's high, the Yachid has to bring the power. Yochid has to bring his own karpan. Yochid can't be yotzi with the tzibur, which is a strange story to me. Why can't the Yochid be yotzi with the tzibur? Isn't that like how life works? Okay, but what's the other? He says another possibility. He says something which I have a little trouble with. What does the Mishnah Halachos say? Says the Mishnah Halachos. He says they're really not chayav chatas. Why not? Anyone remember what he says? If you don't, it's okay, because I didn't love the Svara.
I would guess because if we're of the the two were dead, so it was Megala that it wasn't something that the Jews necessarily were skeptical about. Exactly.
He says, because they're on us. Because it's not his fault. Right? That's what he says here. He says, right here, he says, the Yachid Shasavaros Bezdin is Chayav, because since Adayin Lo Nispashto Rozo B'chol Yisro, Yesholach of Dilma Kati Yachzer Rozo. He shouldn't be an early adopter. But Kol Shasuk Farov HaKol V'Nispashto Rozo B'chol Yisro. But if everyone did it, once everyone does it, then, I mean, if everyone does it, it's okay. But if Bezdin HaGadol said it and everyone does it, then, like, what's there to worry about? Bezdin HaGadol said it. It's not like by the time people heard, they objected, they saw it didn't work, there were too many objections. No, Bezdin HaGadol said it, everyone did it, so at this point, there's no more objections, right? I say, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace, like they used to say. So if Bezdin spoke and no one objected, Rov Tzibur did it, what, are you going to wait to see if there's one guy who's living in a cave who comes out and has an objection? Then, at that point, it's not your fault anymore. And that's exactly what he says. He says either, because once everyone finds out about it, then Alpiteva, the odds are so slim that they're going to change. They did change their mind in the end of this case. But the odds were so slim they changed their mind, you didn't have to worry about that. It's not negligent. Or he says, not Alpiteva, Alpi Me'al HaTeva. If all of Klal Yisrael does something, Hashem wouldn't let them do enough here. In the end, he did. He just means you don't have to worry about it, right? He says, Oh, no, you have Shalom, according to the Rabban and Shoftim about Exoming, but not exactly that case. I do a parallel case, maybe a better case. Hashem wouldn't be Machshel Rov Yisrael Be'ishr Torah. Nah, if all the Jews did it, Hashem wouldn't let them have a Mishel. It turns out he did in this case. But you don't have to worry about that. That's such a far out circumstance that you're not negligent.
So you have a more discussion before the first 50%.
Exactly. That's what I understand Machlal, what he's talking about. Let me write. I'll write on the board. Does it have to be true if I write on the board? You know what? He's smarter than I am, maybe. But I'm with you. What does he say? He says, no, no. You're potter mitam ones because once it's nispashta barov tzibur, once it's nispashta barov tzibur, there is no reason to suspect they will retract. It turns out they did, but there's no reason to respect, so you're not negligent. And either Alpiteva, once they said it and most people followed it, what are the odds there's a mistake? Wouldn't someone have discovered the mistake among the rogue Tzibur? Or Alpimeal HaTeva, Hashem wouldn't let the Tzibur do such a big aveva. Okay, it turns out you were wrong, but it's such a strong svara that you weren't negligent. However, here I have Ellen Michelle's kasha, and I read it and reread it and tried to figure out what he was talking about. He says, I don't know how this makes any sense. This makes sense for the 51st percent, and the 52nd percent, and the 53rd percent. But the first 50% did it before it was Nispashto Barov Tzibur. Why are they potter? So it's a little funny. You have to, like, add in some sort of secret passage here to, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to say exactly. Since the later people are... I don't understand what you're supposed to say. The first guy was still did it on his own. He was still an early adopter.
For the Lamala Menateva side, I think it's easier because you could just say, and then it's a Gila Gosla Lamafreya, that the person must not have done something that was so bad. But even if it was within Teva, I think maybe you could say that it doesn't mean that you have to be so skeptical about every single thing that comes out of Bezdin's mouth. It's just that you should be able to have a sense of things you should be skeptical about.
The kind of thing that Spashbro Tzibur must have been the kind of thing you shouldn't have been skeptical about.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're trusting your svara a lot here.
The definition of Tzibur, you have, like in anything, you can have individual things, but at some point they coalesce into a one object. So at some point, individuals now coalesce into a Tzibur, and now you're only looking at a Tzibur. Yes, before they were individuals, but now they are part of the Tzibur. Whatever they did is considered part of the Tzibur.
Uh-huh. So you want to say that even the Inyan, whether you're negligent or not, we look at you as part of the Tzibur. Okay, that's, I hear it. It's a Chiddush.
In the paragraph before that, here, he says, Kol Sha'asu Kvar Rov HaKahal.
I know, but then it doesn't make sense. He says Kvar, but it doesn't mean Kvar. I just, it's still... It's still difficult.
And he says, Shuvim Asayafim.
Yeah, I still don't fully understand what he's trying to say. I'm going to leave it, but sorry, Ion. I'll just point out that there is another tzad besides the Noda Yehuda, though. And this is what the Chazan Ish and Reb Chaim say. The Chazan Ish and Reb Chaim say, and it's very poshut. It's not a fancy anything. They say very poshut. They just say that. You know why the Yechidim are poshut? Not because they're Yotze with the Par. And we'll see why in a moment they say not because they're Yotze with the Par, because they want to justify the Rambam about Rabbi Shimon. Not because they're Yotze with the Par. But why? Because they... Remember what we had in our very first or second Chakira of the season. Because when there's a Parsha of Korban Tzibur, the Torah wasn't goes with a Parsha of Korban Yochid. There are two Parshas. There's a Parsha of Korban Tzibur, and that's when the Tzibur sins, and then the Torah goes with a Parsha of Dabashal Tzibur. And then there's a Parsha of Korban Yochid when the Yochid sins, and then the Torah goes with a Korban on the Yochid. There are two tracks. If the Yochid sins, he gets Kaparas Yochid. If the Tzibur sins, they get Kaparas Tzibur. When you're on the track of the Tzibur sinning, the Parsha of the Yachid doesn't apply anymore. You know, not because it's more negligent or less negligent, not for a psychological reason, for a formal halachic reason. And we'll see why they say this in a second. They say also, he's not Chayiv Chatas, except this is a way that's not quite as open to criticism. Say Potter, because the Torah wasn't gozer parshas chatas yachid when the parsha of the chatas tzibur applies. Okay, just that. The Torah has two tracks. One track leads to its track. The other track leads to its track. When you have a parah dov shel tzibur, the Torah wasn't gozer the parsha yachid. If you look at the Torah, said ime eini ha'edin esalish gaga, or imakoin amashiach yechta, or nasiki yechta, or in nefesh achas tefta mi'am ha'aretz. If it's nefesh achta tefta, nefesh achas tefta, you go that track. It's nasi, you go that track. Koin amashiach, you go that track. And in mi'ha'eda, you go a different track. Once you're in the track of mi'ha'eda, if you read the chumash, right? Anyone who's good at flowcharts reads the chumash. And mi'ha'eda nesal l'shkaga. Say, okay, the flowchart brings us here. We don't get to the other possibilities yet. That's only if yes, it's a chid of the tzibur, go to this parsha. If no, then go to the next parsha. Okay, in the chid of the tzibur, there's no chid of the yachid, just helping zero sakasa. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, of course, for, and why did they say this? After all, we all would have said the Noda Yehuda on our own, I think. You know, maybe some of us are contrarians. But if you had told us you're not allowed to open Maseches Horios, you're not even allowed to think about Maseches Horios in your mind, just tell me, you know, the simple shot. Why does every Yachid who listens to Bez Din have to bring his own carbon if it's just one or two or three or 49% of guys? But if everyone does it, then they don't bring their own carbon. We would all say, who does? They're Yotzi with the power of the Tzibur.
No, Lachman says that came out called Roski Bumsu.
Yeah, I know he does, but I'm not going to credence that unless he starts naming names. He has to name names. He can't just say that. He can't just say that. Even if he's smarter than me, he still can't say that. I'm not bound to the Mishnah Halachos. I don't carry in the Brooklyn Erev. I don't have to listen to the Mishnah Halachos. Okay, anyway, if you carry in the Brooklyn Erev, then you have to listen to everything the Mishnah Halachos says. He's the Rabbi Machshir, the Brooklyn Erev. Flatbush. Okay, I don't carry the Flatbush Erev, so I don't have to be kafaf to the Mishnah Halachos. If he wants to tell me that's what Repos can say, let him start quoting names. I think, so where does this come from? It comes from, let's go to Daf Gimel and Beis. On Daf Gimel and Beis, the Mishnah says, Ho Rebez, then Yad Yishan Tova Chazurva, and Ben Shev Yu Kapa Rasa, Ben Shloi Yu Kapa Rasa, Bez Din Mei Yehora, and Rov Tzibur followed them. And then Bez Din realized their mistake, now they bring a power. And whether they brought the power or not, and here I'm interested in the case where they brought the par. That's going to be the interesting case for us. Even if they brought a par, now another guy goes and does it after they realize the mistake and brings a par. Just he hadn't heard. Without getting into the Tanaim, maybe a lot of Tanaim would agree. If he was like locked up in a jail someplace and didn't hear, or on a boat at sea someplace and didn't hear, on a ship at sea someplace and didn't hear, whatever the case is, Rav Shimon Potter says, Rav Shimon, if he sins after they bring a par, he's putter. If he
since after they bring a Paris Potter, how does that work for the Nebi Yehuda? If the only reason the Yachid's Potter is Yotze with the Par, and he sinned after it brings the Par, you can't get Kapara with the carbon that was brought before you sinned. That seems too difficult for me. I haven't seen anything before who suggests that I can sin tomorrow and get Kapara yesterday. No, you have to get Kapara after you sin. You can't get Kapara before you sin. So, I don't think we don't find anywhere. What?
Not in Judaism,
right? We don't find this anywhere. We find, you know what? If you want to tell me you can Kapara 1,000 years after you sin, maybe, right? The Egla Roof is Mechakra and Yotze, that's right. But we never know what you get Kapara before you sin. That is, that seems perverse. Right? So here's the question. What shot with Rabbi Shimon? Why does Rabbi Shimon patter to you after they already brought the pyre? Why would you be putter? Right? So here's the question. Question is, why does Rabbi Shimon say the yachid is putter, even if he sinned achar havas hapar, right? According to the Yehuda, you're stuck. What do you mean? If the only reason the Yachid Par is yield to the Par here is not yield to the Par. So, now, if you have like the Nod Yehuda, what might you then say? What would you have to say? What is the Nod Yehuda going to say? Exactly! Rav Shimon's not a leave at the Hilchasar! Rav Shimon holds Yachid Chasar Baras Bezdin Potter! And, plenty of people say that, right? What is the Nodi Huda going to have to say? You'll have to say, you're right. Reb Shimon is not Aliba de Helchasa. You're right. Really, the Yachid is not Pater after the Par. The Yachid's only Pater because Yotze at the Par. Everyone's Yotze at the Par. After the Par, you're not Pater. Oh, why does Reb Shimon say you're Pater? He's not Aliba de Helchasa. Reb Shimon holds Yachid Sha'asa Behoras Bezdin is Potter, unlike the way we paskin. Okay, who actually says that? Does anyone say that? Tosos Arash. He asked the question. He says, hold on a second. If it's so posh that Rav Shimon, right, that's okay. Rav Shimon holds a different sheet. He holds a Yachid Shasabaras Bezdin is Potter. So, of course, the Yachid is Potter. This no Yehuda and the Mishnah Lachos and everyone is Aliyah the Hilchasa. If Yachid is Potter, then a Yachid is Potter, right? We're asking, if a yachid is chayav, why are the rabbin putter? But if the yachid is putter, the yachid is putter, right? So he basically says, yeah, the rabbin's stream is over. Basically, it's only one guy who did it, and one guy's putter. Of course, what's the difficulty in the Gemara of saying that? Is that then why does the Gemara daf Beisim and Beisim Gilo and Aleph say I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Rab Zodiver Rabbi Yehuda, Yach Shasabaras Bezdin is putter? And we're not going to Shmuel says Zodiver Rabbi Meir. Why didn't anyone say Zodiver Rabbi Shimon? It's difficult. I saw the Rekhavasa Mishnah, not the one on the Makorashi Turk, the Dalai Halacha, Hey, Fosh Gagos, says he found that Gerson the Rush, which has clearly against our Tosos Rush, not how I was before, that he has Zodiver of Shimon in the Gemara. So the Tosos Rush is Nidchat, he's bothered. Why doesn't the Gemara say Zodiver of Shimon if it's obviously Rav Shimon? Okay, and Bedocha, he says, you know what, because Rav Shimon doesn't have a Chachamim next to him. They only wanted to quote people who had Chachamim near them. And Rav Meir had Chachamim in his Brisa, according to that shot, and Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in the adjacent pasuk in the Sifra. Okay, but it's Nidchak. Who says this? The Tosos Rush on Daf Beis Amud Beis. He says this. Obviously, Rav Shimon holds Yachid Chasar Baras Bezdin Potter, because I'll leave it to Hilchasa. You're Chayev, right? That's what he's saying. I'll leave it to Hilchasa. You're Taka Chayev. Who else holds this? Anyone else hold this? Besides the Tosos Rush? Who? Rashi and the Gemara Beis in the Mishnah sounds this way. What does Rashi say? Rashi says in the bottom of the first column of Gemara Beis, he says very clear, the last three lines, V'yachet Shasavaras Bezdin Potter. In explaining Rav Shimon, this is on the Morah, explaining Rav Shimon, he says, Yachet Shasavaras Bezdin is Potter. Okay, how do you resolve the steer between this Rashi and Rashi Shabbos? I'm not sure. It's always tricky when you have steers between Rashi and different parts of Shas. Rashi on Daf Gilman Bay says, right, they hold Yachid Shasavaras Bezdin is Potter. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Eger already points out the skewer here. And the Rabbeinu Hananel says Rabbeinu Hananel at the end of the Sugin Dalar Alf, says, the halach is not like any of the Tanakh we just analyzed. He says, rather, like Rameir, I'm not sure what he means by that. Maybe that part of the verse is tricky. He says, the halach is violent, he's tanoim, because we hold Yachad Shasavar Ras Bezdin is chayav. Right? I'll read you the lashon of the Rabbeinu Chananel, if I can find it. He says, here we are. The less hilchos afil chad mi tanoi de masnisen. The little brisa halach is not like Rav Shimon or anywhere else in the Mishnah. Brisa is there. El the hilchosak or beir lechude dar mishmul le'elav al chacham romim yachet sheasa baras bezden chayev. Maybe what he means is that they're all like Rav Meir, but we paskin against this Mishnah because we paskin yachet sheasa baras bezden chayev. Okay, if he says we paskin against this Mishnah because we paskin chayev, that means that Mishnah held potter. So we can also add the Rach on daf dalam and aleph. Is that my whole list? Yeah. So basically, yeah. What?
First year.
Correct. And the the Ramban in Maseches Shabbos, he at least denies the. Yeah, correct. He says based on the Gemara, right? And the Ramban in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Gimel and Aleph, right? I think that's where it was. Also says the same thing. Okay, then. That makes a lot of sense, right? You're only chaya. You're basically the only tourist for yotzei of the par. Everyone's always chayav. You're only putter of yotzei. The rabbi only putter of the yotzei of the par. If they're not putter with the par, yotzei of the par, so they sinned afterwards, then they're chayav. Our Rav Shimon says putter. Rav Shimon holds yotzei for us as a putter, and we don't follow him. Okay, that is what many Rishonim say. However, two significant Rishonim don't say that. Thank you. Who doesn't say this? Rashi and Shabbos. Rashi and Shabbos says very, very explicitly. Hold that thought for a second. Rashi and Shabbos, and here I'm not going to try to resolve the Steer and Rashi, although I'm sure.
Steer and Rashi would be answered by how the Rambam would explain. No? Meaning that he always says that he's told the Bez and that you're Potter. According to the Rambam.
No, because Rashi on the Gimel Beis says the words, Yachad Shasav or Ras Bez and Potter. Right? That's the magic words. What does Rashi say in the second?
Where did he say that?
What does Rashi say in Maseches Shabbos? Rashi is very explicitly. Rabbi Shimon Latame de Amar Behorios, Yachad Sha'asa Baras Bezdin Chayav. Now, here's a little. Where did he say this in Horios exactly? We're not sure. Unless Rashi's assumption is. Rabbi Shmuel said, Rabbi Yehuda versus Chacham, Rabbi Meir versus Chacham. Everyone else is the Chacham, Rabbi Shimon is the Chacham. And the Chacham say Chayav. So Rashi and Shabbos says Chayav. And. Even more than that, the Rambam. How do we know that the Rambam says that? But Rashi in Shabbos, Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph, says that Rav Shimon Savar Yachid Sha'asa Beharas Bezdin Chayav. And Rambam, how do we know the Rambam holds that Rav Shimon says Yachid Sha'asa Beharas Bezdin Chayav? Because the Rambam paskins Yachad Sha'asa Baras Bezdin Chayav, and paskins Rav Shimon. Okay, technically it might be more of a Rabbi Elazar, but it's the same idea for our purposes, right? And the Rambam also says that Rav Shimon Savar Yachad Sha'asa Baras Bezdin Chayav. How do we know this? Because he paskins like Rav Shimon. I'm approximating for our purposes. He paskins like Rav Shimon, and he paskins Yachid Sha'asa Baras Bezdin Chayim. If the Rambam paskins Yachid Sha'asa Baras Bezdin Chayim, it still brings down Rav Shimon. He must hold it. Rav Shimon holds. So, of course, it's Rashi and the Rambam. We got all the Achronim working. So now, what's Pshat? Hold on. Yachid Sha'asa Baras Bezdin Chayim. Only the Rambam are Potter. Why are the Rambam Potter? You can't say the Rambam are Potter because. You can't say the Rabbim are potter because they're yotzei with the par, because this guy's not yotzei with the par. So taka, why are the Rabbim potter? Right? What's the svara? Right? So here's the svara. Right? Within this, Rashi and the Rambam. Here's the question. So hold on. If Yachid Sha'asa Behoras Bezdin is Chayav, why is the person who sinned Achar Havas HaPar Potter, don't say Zyotzi with the power. Right? You can't say Zyotzi with the power, so therefore, say the Chazan Ish and the Grach, because whenever the Parsha of Chatas Rabbim applies, the Parsha of Chatas Yachid doesn't. And that's exactly what we're saying. Then, Nicha, Rashi, and Shabbos, and the Rambam, right, or let's say better, over into them, then it's very Nicha. Ah, why does Rav Shimon say the Yachid is Pater after Razapar? Nicha. He's Pater because the Parsha of Chatas Sibur applies. Yes, they already brought it, but we're within the Parsha of Chatas Sibur. Who cares if he's after or before? He doesn't have to yield to the power. He just has to sin in the context of a Chet of the Tzibur. Did he sin in the context of a Chet of the Tzibur? Yes, it was in the context of Chet Tzibur. It was after the power, it was in the context of the Chet Tzibur. Whoever sins in the context of the Chet Tzibur is part of the Tzibur, not a Yachid. Sometimes you're a Yachid, and sometimes you're part of a Tzibur. When you're part of a Tzibur, you're not guilty with the Tzibur. You're a potter, because we're on the Tzibur track, not the, right, even after Havas Hapar, he's still in the context of a chet tziburi, right? Still in the context, and therefore he's potter. That's why the Chazon Ish and the Reb Chaim and many other achronim, the Or Sameach and others, all go through that derech. I just want to point out one thing. The Stipler here says something very clever, exceedingly clever. What?
Sorry.
Yes?
Yeah, is that also that's Pshat of Moshe Ber Yosef? So he says over there, the Hakam Ika Kapara Achalika Kapara?
Hakam, I think that's what you have to say. Ika Kapara, this is the parish of Chet Tzibur. That's what Moshe Rayel says. Hakam Ika Kapara. But there is a Kapara. Ah, he didn't get into it, but there is a Kapara. Although, you know, it's not so before. Okay, says the Stipler suggests something. He says, you know what? There's another way to explain. There's a third way to explain this sugya, which is based on the Mishnah Halachos without the problem. This guy, he sinned after everyone else sinned. That's the case. If he sinned after everyone else sinned, maybe then he has a special pter of anus. Even if Mishnah Halacha is not right normally, what could you say? You could say, says the, this is basically, says the Kilos Yaakov, inspired by the idea of the Mishnah Halacha, but applying it more pointedly, he says it could be that the Yachid's Chayiv normally, and he's only Yotze with a par. That's the first 51%. But, says the Kilos Yaakov, no. It could be that because he only sinned achar, meaning eliminating this problem, shenis pashta hora'a b'rov tzibor, he has a tor anus and doesn't need kapara. Meaning, what's he saying? He's not saying the. So basically, we have three ways of understanding the shita of Rabbi Shimon. One way of understanding the shita of Rabbi Shimon is that he holds Yach Jasa Moras Bez in his potter, because he's not miskaper through the par. Or says the site, but he's not miskaper through the par. The Rabbim are miskaper through the par. Maybe he's potter, Rav Shimon holds it, the sheet we don't hold. Like, or says the Stipler, no. Rav Shimon only potters if you sin after everyone else, not with everyone else. After everyone else sinned, then it's already the Spash of Rav Tzibur, and you don't have El Mishal's Kasha, the Mishnah Lachos, and he's up to Ranus. Or you could say, like, the Chazon Ish Rav Chaim and the Oshemech, and most Achronim. They say, no, we see from Rav Shimon, I'll leave it to the Ramban, and Rashi and Shabbos, but they care more about the Ramban, Kedarka Makodesh. We see that the Ptur of the Rabbim is not due to being guilty of the par. Ptur of the Rabbim is just being on a different track, being in a different parsha. There's a parsha of Tzibur and a parsha of Yachid. When you're in a parsha of Tzibur, you're in a parsha of Tzibur, not the parsha of Yachid. When you're in a parsha of Yachid, you're in a parsha of Yachid, not the parsha of Tzibur. Okay, we didn't get quite as far as I would have liked, I'm sorry to say, but just to chazer this last part of Shir, we ask, why, if a Yachid, Sha'as Maros Bezdin, is Chayav, which is what we hold, why the Rabbim Potter? And we had two possibilities we liked. Either they're Chayiv, there's Yotzi with the Par,
or their potters is a different track. Nafkamina is, how do we explain Rabbi Shimon? If their potters are the Yotzei the Par, then Rabbi Shimon's a mystery. We need a hesber for Rabbi Shimon. Either say he's a sheet that we don't paskin like, Yachad Shasabaros Bezim is potter, and we don't hold like him, or say like Yotzei Yaakov, in that case the Mishnah Halacha Svar is good, even though in his case it's not. Or, according to the Chazars and the Graf, it's perfect. Once you're in a different track, you're in a different track, and what we need to get to next year is exactly when you're on one track, when you're on the other track. Okay, we're following our normal year-long minhag of falling behind the course a little. But we'll catch up from Yitz Hashem next time. Shmuel. David, you'll get the last word, please. Mincha at the Zman, 119. The Avnei Nezer works.